Well, hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. Last time we spoke about the forgetfulness of grace. This is a whole series on the grace of God. And I want to stay with that subject, the forgetfulness of grace. This would be part two. So last time we considered two scriptures, Isaiah 43, verse 25, Isaiah 43, 25, which says, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Wow. And then there's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It says this, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Well, yeah, we consider that when it comes to the sins of his people, God exercises his divine prerogative to forget them. Wow, that's amazingly good news. Yeah, and it's grace. Perhaps the most neglected teaching in the Bible is the doctrine of the forgetfulness of grace. Simply stated, it teaches that when God forgives, God forgets. And this truth is repeatedly illustrated in Scripture. When God forgives our sins, he puts it out of his mind. He forgets it. Now, last time we considered Noah, the grace of forgetfulness for Noah's sin. We saw that the word grace makes its Bible debut in the story of Noah, Genesis 6:8. Noah, we are told, found grace. Not that word grace is another way of saying favor. He found favor with God, grace with God. And then eventually he built the ark and preached for hundreds of years. And the day of destruction eventually arrived. And the Lord shut Noah and his family into the ark. Yeah, he had favor. This is a good guy. They were, his family were spared and saved from the judgment of God. And after the flood, Noah built a church. No. Do you know what happened to him? After the flood, he went and got drunk out of his mind and he lay naked in his tent. See Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 to 27. I mean, we don't understand all that happened there, but in ancient culture, to see one's parents' nudity had a connotation of sexual intimacy and at times even incest or rape. So we don't know what went on, but it was pretty awful. The truth is this, by the way, none of us ever lose our vulnerability and availability to sin. We never become unassailable. No, we need to walk close with the Lord and receive his grace. Noah had walked with God for more than 600 years and then he went and got drunk and ran around the place naked. We should therefore never forget that the best of men are men at best. And even the godliness, the most godly amongst us is prone to sin. Now, we also talked about there was a significant discovery when we come to the New Testament. What happens? There's no mention of Noah's drunken escapade. In fact, the New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5, who condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, Hebrews 11:7. But he failed. Yes, he did. And do you know what God did? God beat him over the head. No. God forgot about it. God is the God of all grace. Our sins have been punished on Christ. The Lamb has taken them away. Have you trusted him? Have you put your confidence in him to be your great sin bearer? The Lord declares, I am he that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. To blot out, well, that's an image from the accounting book in which a debt is paid. A charge is blotted out. It's cancelled. That's the power of the blood of Christ. That God forgets the sin of his people. He blots them out. This is good news, worthy of preaching to ourselves. Have you rested in Christ and his forgetful grace? We also last week considered the grace of forgetfulness for Lot. Lot, we noticed, boy, he seems to be at best a half-hearted believer, waffling between his position in Sodom and his faith in the Lord. And then we read his history, we see a pattern where Lot, well, he just goes with the flow. He's a compromiser. He pitches his tent towards Sodom, Genesis 13:12. And then he eventually moves to the doomed city and sits with the city elders, Genesis 19:1. His family laugh at him, and when he warns them of coming judgment, they laugh, Genesis 19:14. Well, he had no credibility. He's supposed to be a man of God. He has no credibility. And he even allowed his daughters, when you read the passage, he allowed his daughters to marry pagan Sodomites. And in the end, the rescuing angels had to compel him to leave the city. And had they not, Lot would have stayed. And then after Sodom's demise, okay, maybe he straightens up and does things right. No. In the next scene, we're confronted with a wretched tale of drunken incest between Lot and his daughters. Oh, there could be no hope for a man like that. No hope. Oh, who says so? Oh, but there couldn't be any hope, Brother McKee, for that. He's a wishy-washy compromiser. Yeah, that's all true. But in the power of grace, when we get to the New Testament, Lot is mentioned, but not only is he mentioned, he's held up as an example of righteousness. Someone vexed with the filthy conversation, lifestyle of the wicked. He was distressed by the unrestrained behavior of the immoral, 2 Peter 2:7. He's called a just man. A just man, literally a righteous man. But how can that be? Well, the only answer is the beautiful, marvelous, matchless grace of God. It's because God says, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Well, Isaiah 43:25. And then again, Hebrews 8:12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, we expect our heroes to be flawless. Lot, however, like the rest of us, was far from a perfect man, and that's not surprising since Jesus, the Christ, is the only perfect man who has ever lived. Outside of Jesus, there's no one without sin. And although we are sinners, we are perfectly righteous. Did you hear that? Perfectly righteous. Lot's righteousness was found in Christ, not himself. Righteousness was imputed to him, reckoned to him. It wasn't infused into him. Lot was counted righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus Christ. But this righteousness did not make Lot acceptably righteous in himself. That will only help in our glorification when we are transformed into his image. Justifying righteousness is something which resides in the person of Jesus alone. The imputation of this alien righteousness is the only means by which man can become accepted to God. And as long as the Christian lives, he is guilty in himself, but in Christ he is righteous and accounted precious. So let's continue with these thoughts today and look at the grace of forgetfulness for Abraham. Yeah, Father Abraham. He's the father of who was reckoned faithful. See Galatians 3, verse 9. But Abraham had, although he was faithful, he had huge moments of significant weakness and failure. He was willing to put his wife's life at risk by lying to Pharaoh. Check that out, Genesis 12, 14 to 20. He also had sex with a servant girl in order to try to produce an heir. Genesis 16, 4. But once more, when we come to the New Testament, none of these failings are recorded. By way of contrast, the New Testament informs us that Abraham was looking forward to the city whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews 11, 10. He's not charged with sin. In Romans 4, he's justified by faith. What's happened? Why are his failures not mentioned? I mean, what's his terrible? This is terrible. Well, look, as we grow in the knowledge of grace, the undeserved nature of grace becomes less of a cliche and more of a reality. We don't earn grace. It's a gift. Hello? It's a gift. It's a gift that God gives us. He has saved us and called us not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I can't explain that to you. Well, you say, well, when was this grace first given? Do you know what? This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I don't believe that. Well, then, read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Grace didn't just begin on the cross. God gave grace for his people even before the beginning of time. Boy, this is astonishing. Before we knew about God's grace, we were in bondage to sin. But by being given the free gift of eternal life, we have been liberated from the penalty of sin. By grace, we are being delivered from the pleasure of sin. And finally, in the age to come, we will be delivered from the presence and possibility of sin. Grace is for the past, but grace is also for the present. God's grace doesn't end when we get started in our Christian walk. No, there's present day grace. His grace continues to have an effect on our lives right this moment. He doesn't want us to live in the crippling bondage of past failures. No, if you've taken your sins to Jesus in repentance, he's forgotten about them. Now, this is good news. If you're saved, then God's grace is still saving you this very moment. The Bible says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans 5, 1 to 2. Our feet are firmly fixed in grace. So listen again to our scriptures. I am he that blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. And that is the gospel truth. Next time, God willing, we'll try and speak about Moses, the grace of forgetfulness for Moses. And listen, if I can help you spiritually, just email me. I'll answer any questions. I'll try to answer them. My email is miles@milesmckee.com. And if you like this message on grace, you'll hear the whole thing or read the whole thing in The Gospel Truth about Living in Grace. It's available on Amazon. And so, hey, listen, please forward this to your friends if this is of any help to you at all. Okay, and thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your support. In Jesus' lovely name, amen.